Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Elder Care Radio, your source for the latest and most important information for our senior community, helping everyone to take control of their own health care, be informed, and proactive. The best outcome happens when we have input, when we communicate with the health care providers and we all are working together to attain our goals. Everything is much better. So we are excited to be here today. We are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and our telephone number, 435-477-6999, and the website is pathwayhospicecare.com.
Good morning, Southern Utah. We're so glad you could join us this morning. Go on, Richard. Right into it.
You were doing so well.
I kept going.
I practiced that part, and then I didn't practice anything else. So
I'm done. That's it. You got the rest, Kaylee.
Yeah. Oh. So it is exciting to be here, and Andy, it is a gorgeous day today.
There's no question.
This is why everybody wants to live in Southern Utah, St. George. It's days like this. Luckily, there are so many of them. We just don't share with other people very much. So that's exciting. You know, we've had some interesting things happen this week. We get excited about being able to provide care for people. On the This Week in Hospice part of this, I guess, we are helping a family who needs resources, doesn't necessarily qualify, but we're happy to be helping and making a change in this community, even if, it costs us a little bit. That's not a big deal.
We just want to help.
Yeah. So we're glad that, people are finding out that they have choices, the community has the control over their own destiny, that they, that they can talk to the doctors and get more information and be able to make their own decisions. We're excited when we hear stories of people who have taken control of their health care, where they're actually having meaningful conversations instead of being spectators in their health care. They're participants. The game is always more fun, if I use that analogy, when you're playing than when you're just sitting eating popcorn on the sidelines. So we are happy that we have people, in the game, and we want to support all those that are playing, and in any way we can. Okay.
All right. Did you want to move right into the studies and what we were going to talk about today, or did you want to answer the question that one of our call-ins had about the differences between facilities, living assisted living versus skilled nursing versus nursing homes and long-term cares?
I think I'd rather always solve the problem that people feel they have than just talk about things that I think are fun and important. So let's start with, the difference in care. There's a broad range. I'm not sure how to start this. Let's say that let's divide it into care that's in your home and care that can be had in some other facility. Okay, let's start there and divide that. Which side do you want to start on?
Well, I don't know. I think I want to make a comment, kind of explain where this comes from. So often, families are left with, they've worked their whole life to purchase a home. Maybe they already own their home free and clear, or they have some other assets. And then it comes to one of their loved ones needing some extra care. And sadly, Medicare says if you don't have a very specific type of insurance, which is usually outside of, the expenses of the average person, they want your assets before they will step in and provide the care of facilities, right? So I think it's you have to be without assets, is it 5 years? So planning, if you're planning on, not having assets or giving your inheritance off to your children before you need care, it's...
Well, so from the government or state side...
we're not supposed to say that.
Well, no, they do not want to be contributing to somebody's lifestyle who could still support themselves in any way possible.
Right.
And so they do expect people to be destitute. Now, there's been some changes in the law, regarding the home, right? Mm-hmm. If two people are living in the home, taking the entire value of the home away for the, one person and leaving nothing for the other, they feel is a little unfair. So they've adjusted that. But effectively, if you're looking at getting the state to be able to pick up the expenses, and there are a lot of expenses of care in a facility, you basically have to have spent everything that you have. And if you had a particular facility you wanted to be in, you have to be able to support yourself for at least 2.5 years. I think that's still the rule, before the state will continue to pick up that amount. Otherwise, the state has the option of moving you to the facility that is most cost effective for them. That may not be the question that anybody had today, but we just like to be a little complete and expand that. So if we're looking on the facility side, there's different levels of care. There's independent care, and that's pretty much hotel type, luxury hotel living. Let's go with that.
Yes, independent living. So yeah. It's senior communities where they have usually their community centers might have nursing facilities or other medical type offices and facilities information
and other
to help.
Optional fee-based services. If you just need some help, sometimes you can order that off of the menu. So those types of places are fine places to live if that fits you. But there are some costs involved in that, and that would probably never fit in the government supported part of that.
No.
So that's not really an issue. When the government comes in to support, that's usually within the skilled nursing facility level, and that's at the high end.
Right. So, I mean, there are literally 5-star independent living facilities where they have very high-end restaurants, and they even have places where you can go, barbershops and hairdressers, and you can get manicures, and you can have people take you shopping. And there are 5-star services, but the average person, that's not available to them. And so we often get these calls of, so our insurance isn't covering this and we need help, and what type of help is available. And sometimes families are looking for facilities for that help. The loved ones work, or maybe it's a dad who's got his own issues to deal with and he's just barely taking care of himself and he just can't take care of mom who has Alzheimer's anymore.
So when you start looking, there's a vocabulary that we need to have, and on the facility level care, that vocabulary starts with independent living, and then it goes to assisted living. And that means that there are people there to help care for problems that may exist, or, to help people with their activities of daily living. That does not mean that they have nurses on staff, because when you bring nurses in, that will meet a standard that Medicare defines, that becomes a skilled nursing facility. And skilled nursing facilities will provide cares to every level. Not every skilled nursing facility will do all levels of care, but that is the area where we can go from anything above just assisted living all the way to memory care, where people no longer have the mental capacity to handle any part of their activities of daily living.
We should also really specify that memory care is a much higher level. Facilities, not all facilities, they might be assisted living facilities or skilled nursing, but they don't have memory care. Memory care is just one more added level of care. And if it's a memory care facility, they do have to have a certain licensing provision. So they've been approved to handle memory care and what that entails.
And I'm just going to say, a few weeks ago, we talked about one of the most common reasons that people are transitioned into skilled nursing facilities or assisted living facilities. And sadly, that's incontinence. That's the single largest reason that people get moved there. And so if we can avoid that by dealing with the incontinence, and there are so many ways to do it, I would highly recommend that you pursue that first.
Yeah, there are other options. And when you think you absolutely cannot do something for one of your loved ones, it's surprising with a little education and help and some supplemental help in your home. It's amazing what you can accomplish. And then you can keep your loved one with you.
Right. And they would be happier in their home almost
always.
A lot of times when people transition to a facility, especially if that's not exactly their own choice, it has a real negative effect on their life.
They usually have a substantial decline.
Yeah.
So the similarities between assisted living and nursing homes, both types of senior communities focus on keeping their residents safe, healthy, and happy. Both provide support with what are referred to as activities of daily living. We've heard that term before. These include bathing, dressing, and personal cares. Other similarities include medication management. Medication errors are the leading reason for older that older adults end up in the emergency room. They forget that they took their medication in the morning and take it twice, or they don't take it at all and end up, you know, with in a tragic circumstance, end up in the ER room. As we know, we've talked about this prior too, four-hour visit to the emergency room can cost Medicare, on average, $50,000 from the tests that they have to run. They don't pay us anything near that, and that's why they allow us to come in and bring all the services into your home. It's not too good to be true. It really is a savings to Medicare, but that's why they allow us to come in and help make your life better and bring the supplemental services in your home. So life enrichment is another benefit of going into facilities. We know that isolation and loneliness put older adults at greater risk for health problems such as depression, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Assisted living communities and nursing care centers offer a variety of life enrichment activities designed to meet residents' physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. We should also remember that a really good palliative care program can also serve patients anywhere that they call home, whether that is a facility or in your home, and it is that supplemental care that's there just specifically for your loved one and keeping you informed as a caregiver of the day-to-day things that happen in your loved one's life. So it's a really good benefit to take advantage of.
So we've talked about the facility-based care, and certainly there's home-based care, and that's kind of what we're going to cover next. You made some good points that, you know, in facilities there are some potential benefits on a social level. You know, if somebody's isolated at home, maybe being in a social environment is a good idea, but they really have to want to do that. It would be too easy to, you know, to have them go into a social environment that they don't want to be in, and it's not going to do them any good. So
no, sadly they end up staying in their room, and it's really hard to encourage them to come out when they've been forced in there, you know, against their will. Sometimes it's planting seeds and making it a slow transition that makes it acceptable or tolerable to your loved one.
So the decision isn't just a one-size-fits-all decision. There isn't a line that needs to be crossed and then we need to make a new decision. It's complex. We have to look at, you know, where they're going to be served best at every level. And that's the part that we, you know, we appreciate in what we do is it's more of a whole life care when we're talking about hospice and palliative care than just solving a particular problem. You know, when you go to the doctor and say, hey, my leg hurts, and the doctor can solve that pain, that's a great thing. But when we don't look at the entire life and say, okay, so what's our best way to go about that? That's a little more difficult. In fact, that's one of the things I was doing some research on. But let's move to the conversation about in-home care. And there are so many levels of in-home care. We're going to try and compartmentalize these a little bit. We're going to go with simple home care, which is unlicensed, you know, generally. There's no standards. It's not a medical level of care.
Now, specifically, you're talking about private care homes, people who invite it. I'm making sure that I'm on the right track with you, Richard. People who invite elderly seniors into their home, and they will care for them for you.
No, actually, that was one I forgot to bring into this. All right, so let's talk about the living somewhere else than in your home that you've been in. You can live in a private home, you know, private care home, and that's just somebody who wants to have somebody in as a tenant who's willing to help them, and that may be a great experience, and that's one level. And then as we go through and look at any facility, any commercial facility that's out there, those all are licensed and have some requirements as to how to operate.
I would just caution when you're looking into private care homes, there are a lot here in southern Utah, and it really is a generous gift that someone opens their door and is willing to allow your loved one to come in and rent, like a tenant, a space or a room, knowing that someone will be there 24 hours a day. But there is a cautionary woe. Some of those facilities are very nice, lovely, and they are licensed, and you know they at least get their business license, and they don't mind having some regulations over them. But there are some that, you know, because they're not licensed, they don't have the same requirement to fully disclose that maybe the nurse really isn't available regularly. Maybe the nurse isn't a registered nurse. She's calling herself a skilled nurse, but what does that mean? You know, you just have to do your homework, right? You just have to know that the facility, the home that you are placing your loved one is, really reaches out and finds very good caregivers. Because when you're not there, you want to trust that they are in a safe environment. So do a little research, ask about licensing, and I think that'll kind of put you on the right path.
Right. And if somebody is, I guess, not wanting to be licensed but is trying to do things that require licenses, that should be kind of a red flag, I think.
Yeah.
You know, either you comply with the rules that exist for what you're able to do, or you're trying to skirt that. So just be well informed. We think that's good. And then let's transition to just bringing care into your own home, where you are living in your own home.
Yeah. Senior assistants.
So they're senior assistants, you know, in-home care. If you had somebody come in and just clean your house once in a while, mm-hmm. that fits into that category. And there's other people who do that type of care, or can come in and fix meals, or can come in and sit with you and accomplish some things. I mean, there's just a broad level of that kind of mm-hmm. care, and we think a lot of that can be palliative. I mean, when it's stress relieving and things like that. So that can be an extremely functional and useful service if you can afford that to come in and help make every day a little better.
Well, and I will say, bringing help into your home is usually far, far cheaper than sending your loved one to a facility. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the benefit, the health benefit of keeping your loved one in their home, but it's pretty amazing the difference between sending someone to the cost expense of sending mm-hmm. someone to any type of facility in any level versus having someone come into your home. And there are options where caregivers can live in your home with your senior member, or they can just visit like a job, you know,
Number of hours a day.
Yeah, 6-7 days a week, whatever it is, for a certain number of hours a day. That's, you know, really beneficial if you have to work as well, you know, and then your loved one's home alone. To be able to know that you have someone you can trust coming into your home to take care of your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, that's, you know, a lot of stress-relieving benefit, right?
Mm-hmm. And so that kind of care is outside of the purview of licensing again. So you should be
some of it is.
You informed can, about how, yeah. you know, the care that you're expecting and the people that you're going to have in there. But if you find good people, it can really be a great blessing and benefit.
Right. Some senior cares do offer 24-hour, including weekends, mm-hmm. a little more expensive. But just to clarify, Richard's talking about there are quite a few people that do that as their profession, as independent contractors. They might have a history of, you know, caring for seniors in their home. And while they're not licensed, they do pay all their taxes and mm-hmm. they, you know, have been doing this for many, many years, and they come with a lot of recommendations. And there isn't a licensing requirement for them because they're not claiming to be a licensed professional, a nurse or a CNA. They are just caregivers coming into your home, and it's far less expensive than facilities. But it doesn't have – I mean, everything has – a pro and a con, right? So you have to determine what's best for you and your family. But there are so many resources available. And we just want you to know that we are always happy to answer those calls and to help you find what's best for your loved one. Never an obligation. We just really are here to help seniors navigate a very difficult system. And I'm not just talking about the internet. The healthcare system's pretty difficult to to know how, you know, what's paid for, what's not, and what's available.
Yeah, and you get stuck in some marketing, you know, cycles of, you know, you think you're looking for an answer, and all you're doing is finding a company that wants your name and an email address so that they can, yeah, and your telephone number so they can inundate you with calls and push right. their agenda, and that's not what anybody wants. So we're happy to give any information we can and help you figure out what's going to work best for you. So bringing care into your home at a personal level is one part of that. Bringing care into your home at a medical level, and there's different levels of that. So I think many of us have had some experience or at least have some understanding of what home health might be, whether that's a visit from a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, maybe a nurse for wound care. You know, there's a number of different specific areas where home health fits, and that's a limited time for some
recovery.
Care.
It's yeah. recovery time.
That's right. And so there's just kind of this limited time in which they can help you do some recovery. And some things we want to point out here that I think are important that are kind of a sideline. If you are getting home health, you really need to get the most out of it that you can, because there's a limit on time. Do what you can. If, and we'll use physical therapy as the example, if you are sent home from a surgery or something else and you have a physical therapist coming and you say, hey, I don't feel like doing much today, a physical therapist isn't going to force you into doing anything. He's not going to say you don't have that choice, because you do. But what happens is after a very short period of time of you not getting started on physical therapy, it's determined that you aren't going to improve, and physical therapy ends. And just about the time that a lot of people feel a little more healthy and a little more willing to try, it's over.
You know, that's a helpful nugget of information. You should probably file that in your index, in your brain, that sometimes the decisions you're making actually reveal information or give information to the physical therapist, occupational therapist, what have you, that they have to report, but that actually eliminates your benefit, and you didn't even know it was going to eliminate your benefit. You have to be careful about that. Make sure that you take advantage of healthcare in the best way that you can in home health, right? And understand that the difference between home health really is a very short-term. Home health was intended to be a recovery system. Mm-hmm. It's based on a prescription by your doctor and what the doctor writes as your needs, where hospice and palliative, while that's a scary word, there's no longer renewing, upping your qualification for it. And it, too, has palliative care, has physical therapy, massage therapy, and all those other things that bring you a much higher quality of life.
And don't have those same defined time limits. It can be continuous and looking towards the future. And so that may be an option. So that would be the next level of care, is possibly palliative care. And then above that, obviously, hospice care is more of a cruise ship experience where, you know, everything is brought together and we are just looking at making sure that, you know, you're having the absolute best experience possible.
And I can't say it enough. It truly is the benefit for the person, the beneficiary, and you have paid for that insurance benefit since the first day you started working. So you should take advantage of it sooner rather than later. Don't be afraid of the word hospice, because it really is the difference between having the benefits covered at 100% through your hospice and palliative benefit or paying cash for it. So for me, since you paid for the insurance your whole life, take advantage of it as soon as you can. You go from paying co-pays and percentages. Under, if you can provide the palliative under the hospice benefit, it's 100% to you. Pharmaceuticals, supplies, DME equipment, the medical care, the nursing care. It's just a beautiful program if you can set aside that fear of the stigma of the word hospice.
And you've paid for this trip, so you might as well try and enjoy it.
And you don't need a doctor referral for it.
That's right.
You can find out for yourself.
That's right. It is patient choice. And so if you understand what your choices are, you'll be much better. We would like to talk more about it, but I think our time is up on the radio.
Give
us a call. We will certainly have a conversation with you about what is available to you. Our telephone number, that most easy number to remember, 435-477-6999.
Have a great week, everyone.